Why don't you look again with me, if you would, tonight, Acts 21, and really noticing just a few statements, see if you can get a glimpse of just how busy this whole narrative really is, as we noted this morning. In fact, I'm going to ask Andy if he'll come up. Andy's going to help me out. He's going to be the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to be Luke recording all of the journeys. Just stand right there, Andy, over by the tuba, whatever that thing is. Is that a tuba? Got it. Amen. Good. And notice all the journeys in just this one little portion of the book of Acts. We begin with the last line of the previous chapter. You'll notice chapter 20 and verse 38 says, "And they accompanied Paul unto the ship." And so, Andy, I want you to get on board at Miletus. So walk just a few steps and stop right there. Now he's on board. In fact, you'll look back at verse 37. It says that they all wept sore and fell on Andy's neck and kissed him. So, Brother Sam, that's your job. You go ahead and we got to be biblical about this. Verse 21 says, look at verse 1, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them," so after he left the shore, "and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos." So, Andy, you're going to travel about over there, go to Kos, and then stop. That's a long journey. "And the day following..." See that? Verse 1. "And the day following, they traveled unto Rhodes." So go on up there. There you go. Yeah, just keep traveling. Now you're in Rhodes. And then it says, "From Rhodes," or "from thence, you went to Patara." So travel to Patara. It says in that verse there at Patara, let's see here, verse 2. "And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth." So you disembark at Patara, look for a boat, look around. Yeah, that's a connecting flight, and now you travel again a little bit farther, and you're going to go to chapter 21 and verse 2. "And finding a ship sailing over at Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus," so Andy, I need you to start travel, or Paul, start traveling, just keep traveling, "and it says that you saw Cyprus on the left-hand side." So wait, no, you're on the left, over here. Over there, wave at the people in Cyprus. You see them, right? You're just sailing past the island. All right, there you go. The Cypriots, as they would be called. "And on that side, you keep traveling, and then it says, you come down there to say Syria." Well, let's read it. Look at verse 3. It says, "Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlay her burden." So travel some more. You're going to go to Tyre and stop and unload the ship, because there's lots of supplies. Most of these are supply ships that you just got to go. You had to pay a ticket to ride along with them. That's how it worked in those days. And it says in verse 4, "Finding disciples there at Tyre, we tarried there 7 days." So see all those disciples right there, Andy? You found them. You're going to sit down with them because you're there for 7 days. Scoot over, guys. Let Paul in. All right. So you went there, and the Bible says you tarried there for 7 days. And during that time, of course, you fellowship and you have a good time, but you're not there long. 7 days is not very long. Verse 5 says, "And when we had accomplished," look at it, "accomplished those days, we departed." Get up, Andy. "We departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children." So there's the wives and children following you on the beach. And look at it again with verse 5, "with wives and children, till we were out of the city," that's good, "and we knelt down on the shore," there you go, "and prayed with all the wives and the kids." It's a sweet scene, really. Verse 6, "and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship," get on another boat, "and returned home again," go back over here, "and when we had finished our course from Tyre," right there, stop right there, all right, you're done, now you're at Ptolemais, and you're looking at verse 7 with me, beloved, "and saluted the brethren," salute the brethren, that's good, salute the brethren, "and abode with them 1 day," go sit down with Brother Rob for 1 day. All right, that's it, get up, Andy. "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea." So travel all the way down Caesarea, long way. You're going to stay at wave. There's Philip. He has the five young girls. That's good. That's perfect. All right. So stay there with Philip's family. You're going to stay in his house, the Bible says. And look all the way down now, verse 10. "We tarried there many days." Okay, so many days. You're with that family. Where are you going? Wait till I tell you to leave. Hold on. All right. Now look down at verse 15. It says, and after those days, we took up our carriages, that means our luggage and our stuff, and we went up. All right, get up, Andy. Now you can go, actually. Pick up your luggage, your backpack. There you go. And travel this way, all the way, this way, this way. No, this. Some things haven't changed. This way, Dad says. And you're going to go all the way back to where you were, which is, you're actually done. So, Jerusalem. Well, there you have it. I mean, I'm tired, and I haven't traveled anywhere just watching Andy. We actually could have gotten a lot more detail, because this is just getting on a boat, getting off a boat, traveling. It's hard, hard work. And it's an illustration of something we actually noted in this morning's message, that every day for the Apostle Paul was a very busy day. Remember chapter 20, look back a page, in verse 15, just this one verse, we preached on this years ago, it says, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried, and the next day we came to Miletus. I mean, it's just one port of call after another, and you recognize that none of these ports of call are excursions for scuba diving or spa days or Cozumel. This wasn't Luke's Instagram or Twitter account, and they're taking selfies of Cyprus in the background. This was, as you can well imagine, a constant, daily, grueling, grinding journey of God's will. And you know what? Of course, because it was God's will and is recorded in God's Word. Therefore, we have some wonderful lessons and reminders about the Christian life. And there's three truths I want us to consider tonight from this portion of Acts, the wonderful detail that Luke, through the Holy Spirit of God, give us about these missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. The first truth, which is so important for believers, is that number one, every single day has purpose. Every day has divine purpose. And you say, Pastor, what exactly do you mean by that? Well, I want you to consider for a moment what all of these chapters detail, because not only is this a very powerful scene, I think it is. We mentioned this morning, as you know, of, for example, this boy who falls asleep on the third floor. You were here this morning. You know the story of Eutychus if you weren't here this morning. He fell asleep, and Paul preached at midnight. He fell down off from the loft, and he died, and he's resurrected. Not only is there that amazing, glorious moment, an apostle who says goodbye for the last time, that's a poignant scene. There's also the mention of very special days in this text, and I think for a reason. For example, look at chapter 20 and verse 6. He says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. Wow, the days of unleavened bread, of course, were very important special days for Paul and all of the Jews. These were red letter days. This is a reference here to the Jewish calendar, to the so-called holy days leading up to the very holiest day, one of them anyway, which is Passover. And as you know, 50 days after Passover, there was another special and holy day, both for Jews and the apostles. Chapter 20 again, look down at verse 16, the last line. He hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. In this one chapter so far, there's Pentecost, there's Passover, there's the days of unleavened bread. And that's not all. Verse 7. It says, upon the first day of the week when they came together to break bread. We talked about it this morning. That's Sunday. That's Resurrection Day, and that's obviously a very special day, and so much the more because they're observing communion on that day. So again, all of these holy, profound days observed by Paul and these believers mentioned in this one little part of this entire book of Acts. And you know, we're all tempted to say that these are the days we preach on. That these are the big days. These are the most important days of our lives and of their lives. In chapter 21, it continues. Look ahead, would you, just real quick? And verse 26. Then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification. And verse 27 says, when the 7 days were almost ended, these were important, big days in their lives. A youth is raised from the dead. A farewell send-off to the great apostle. A communion and Passover is observed with Paul and the disciples. Pentecost and Sukkot in Jerusalem in the days of purification. Holy, special,
for sure. But you know what? So is the next day. So is that day there, and that day there, and that day over there. The next day, and the next day, and the next day, and all of those boring days when nobody falls down from a window in church and experiences a miracle. When no church is being established, or no Lord's Supper is being observed by anyone, yes, on that next day, when not much happened, as is typical, beloved, of almost all of the days of our lives, that day is filled with God's purpose. You know, we all just observe Independence Day. It's a big day in this country for that Memorial Day. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Labor Day. Today is Ashley's 16th birthday. There's a special day, and so it goes. By the way, I saw a blessing this morning. When Mrs. Dupree was coming down the aisle and she was standing right here, she has a very hard time negotiating these steps, as you know. And it was Ashley who came down from the choir and helped her down. And it occurred to me that a year ago, it would have been someone else helping Ashley down the stairs. And so God is good every single day. We just need to recognize it. After Labor Day, the world has blown up with Halloween, and then Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day, and New Year's Day. These, we're told, are the big days. We are told they are special days. And by the way, let me just add and say that children in modern society, at least since maybe around 1920, they have been taught to live only from one special day to the next special day or event. That's what bulletin boards are for, right? You got back to school, and then it's Halloween, and Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and New Year's, and then Valentine's, and Easter, and St. Patrick's, and Memorial Day. And of course, between all those fun days, you have milestones that are red letter days on the calendar. I turn 13. I turn 21. I get my license. High school graduation, college graduation, wedding anniversary, and Wednesday is their anniversary coming up pretty soon, Brother Gene and Gloria. The big 30, the big 40, the big 100. Do they have that? I don't know. I've never heard of that. But it goes on and on. And is there anything more hyped and more overrated than the big day called the Super Bowl? So that, you know what, for so many people, this is their life. Maybe some of you young people. Life is made up of a relatively few scattered days on a calendar that are held up almost artificially, if you will, as especially meaningful, and therefore and thus worthy and more worthy than every other day. A man can be a jerk all year long, but if he gives his wife some flowers on an anniversary or at Valentine's, he's suddenly husband of the year in his little teeny tiny mind. A Christian can play golf or go fishing every Sunday, but if he puts on a collared shirt and comes to church for Christmas and Easter, somehow he's Mahatma Billy Graham all of a sudden, overnight, right? And of course, the whole world is just supposed to do a standstill because Jimmy Boy is graduating high school. Ooh, did he have any option but to graduate high school in this country? Even though the real substance and weight of life is in a thousand other days before and after that one night graduation. Insignificant days, boring days, tedious days, work days, Mondays, days of labor and travel and routine and study and practice and feeding and cleaning and laboring and listening and helping and working and laundry and, oh, Calgon, take me away, or whatever they say. And of course, Christians have spiritualized this dynamic to a science. I've noticed this. I'm thankful that our church is not caught up in this, but after one conference is over, you got to go to another one within a week or 2 weeks or a month because, you know, the Holy Spirit's just not real on laundry day or on Monday or on rainy days. You know, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Amen. Now, look, don't get me wrong. God himself established in the Bible a lot of special days and a lot of memorials. God is the author of the Sabbath rest. But you know, folks, if you look carefully in the Bible at all of those amazing special days, if you look carefully, you will find that our Lord healed on the Sabbath. You'll find how God himself often worked just before or just after some supposed big red-letter day. And you'll see that one of the very purposes for these special days was just to remind his people that every day is full of purpose when you're with God. You know that every day God is on his throne? Do you realize that every day God is answering prayer? Every day God loves you. Every single day God saves a soul somewhere. Every day God's word is true. And every single day you have an opportunity to witness to someone who's lost. Every day somewhere a little baby, a miracle, is born. Every day a life is changed. Every day someone is baptized somewhere. And every single day there is rejoicing in heaven and a miracle on this earth. But Pastor, just because every day somebody's being baptized or saved or has a baby or wins a victory doesn't mean it's happening to me. Well, okay. So the universe, I guess, doesn't revolve around you like we all thought. But it does revolve around the God you serve. I was thinking about this earlier this week. You know, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. If I have nothing to rejoice about on that day in my little mind, it doesn't matter what trial or valley. I was thinking about this. The Bible says to rejoice with them that rejoice, right? Somebody's rejoicing today. If I'm commanded to rejoice with them that rejoice, I have something to rejoice about every single day. And with a lot of people every single day. So, as a child of the living God, you recognize that every day is a holy day. Way across the pond, it was King George of England who wrote in his diary, July 4th, 1776, nothing much happened today. Oh yeah? Nothing much in your little world, but something happens every day in God's kingdom. And beloved, you are a subject of the king, and every day for his subjects has purpose. The Lord's day and the next day. Eutychus' resurrection day. And the next day. Valentine's Day. Right, amen? And the next day. If you bought those Russell Stover chocolates that were BOGO at Publix, you could have given her one on Valentine's Day and the next day. That way, she could have been unimpressed and mad 2 days in a row. Amen? Don't get your wife things that are BOGO, all right? Because she reads the ads. She goes to Publix more than you do. And then she wonders, what did you do with the other box? Actually, she knows what you did with the other box. You know, this morning we preached on the day after, you know, Eutychus's resurrection. Did you ever consider what Paul did the next day when he was raised and preached till midnight and all of that and he was exhausted? Again, we preached on it. That instead of taking the easiest and the fastest way to Assos, Paul said, you go ahead on the boat. I'm going to walk 20 miles and be alone. For so he had appointed, the Bible says. You know what that means? That means Paul made the next day a holy day. That boring, that's his Monday. That was quite literally his Monday after this glorious night, miracle and all these things that happened. Guess what he made his Monday? He made it a holy day. Every day has a purpose. The second thing you'll notice is that number two, every day is protected. You notice how the previous chapter again begins. Go to chapter 20 and look at verse 1. It says, after the uproar was ceased. What uproar? Well, folks, that's the riot back in chapter 19 where a bunch of haters and Diana worshipers wanted to kill Paul and stop his ministry. That's the uproar. That's not all. Verse 3. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail. What does that mean, laid wait? That means they were hiding out to kill him. They were going to ambush him. In other words, more danger. Look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations, which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. So the tears and the trials were because of these Jews. That's more, yet more danger. That's a different group of Jews. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except save the Holy Spirit witness in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me, yet even more danger. You realize that Paul, every day, was surrounded by enemies and dangers and trials and attacks. Man, he must have been absolutely paralyzed by fear. And he must have just dreaded waking up every morning, knowing that the Holy Spirit told him that in every city are afflictions. He must have been a nervous wreck, knowing that this is what would be with him and for him. Actually, you know the answer to that. Verse 24 is the answer. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear or precious unto myself. Beloved, Paul wasn't paralyzed by fear, because he understood and recognized that he was in the will of God, and therefore every day was protected. He knew that nothing could happen to him outside of God's permission and God's will. Verse 24 again. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Now, folks, Paul wanted to finish his course, his life, with joy. He wanted to spend his life in the will of God and do so, what's he say? In fear, that I may finish my course in terror. He says with joy. But how do you do that? How is he ever going to do that when there's danger all around him? All these people lying in wait. All the empire against him, shipwrecks and arrests and wild beasts. How is he ever, ever going to finish his course? He must be a nervous wreck. Except he says, none of these things, bless you, none of these things move me. You know what else he says? Many years after this, in his very final days, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith, and he says, I am ready to be offered. He wasn't even afraid when he came to the end of the course. And he knew that Caesar was going to take his head. And so will you come to the end of your course. All of the days of danger, and these are days of danger and afflictions and risks and fears, do not, cannot alter the plan of God. But pastor, the enemies in an uproar. Yes, chapter 20, verse 1 says, and after the uproar was ceased. Of course there's uproar, but it'll cease. There'll be another one the next day and the next day. This too shall pass. Beloved, remember that the next time a mob comes up against you, none of these things move me, Paul said. I just want to finish my course. That's more precious to me than life. That's what he says. And I want to do it with joy, because that glorifies God. The most endangered man in the world, in the most dangerous world that probably ever was, did exactly that. He finished his course with joy. And it's not because he himself was awesome. It's because his God is awesome. And because with God, every day is protected for the child of God. You know what the Lord wants us to do today and the next day and tomorrow and here and there and there? He wants us to stop fretting so much. As believers, to stop living in constant fear of pesticides and terrorists and abductions and earthquakes and bacteria and solar flares and the NSA and drones and asteroids and HIV and the zombie apocalypse and an avalanche and Chernobyl and MSNBC. Pastor, that's not me. I don't fear avalanches. I live in Florida, but oh, these gators down here, Pastor. These drivers on I-95, okay, you know what? That's legit. That's a terror that flieth by day, the arrow by night. Say, Pastor, how do you know that God doesn't want us to fear any of the days of our lives? Well, be the most repeated command in all the Bible are two words, fear not. And more than that, the scripture says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if God doesn't give you the spirit of fear, but you have the spirit of fear, who gave it to you? It didn't come from the Lord. The day is protected. Today and tomorrow, and the next day and the next day, and the next day after that. And so it goes, and so will it go until you have finished your course. Hopefully in God's will, that is, with joy. You know, when Paul gets to Jerusalem, if you know the story, you know that he gets arrested. You also know that he's almost stoned to death by his own brethren, the Jews. You know that he is arrested on the steps there, and then he's sent to that prison in Caesarea. And he stays in that prison for 2 years, and he didn't know from one day to the next if he would live. And then he's sent to Rome to face Caesar, sort of the Supreme Court. But on the trip to Rome, as you know, there's a shipwreck. And some on pieces of boards and other pieces of the ship, they had to float in this amazing storm, this horrible storm, to a little island. He's on the island now. A snake latches onto his hand. He has to shake that off into the fire. Man, full of trouble. And yet, with all of the dangers, and with all of the enemies, and with all of the lying in wait, what does it still say at the very, what's the very last verse of the book of Acts? I'll read it. And Paul, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's how the book ends. It ends with him alive, healthy, and still doing the will of God. Looks to me like every day was protected. Which brings us to the third and last thing. Every day has purpose. Number two, every day is protected. Number three, you'll notice every day is passing. Go back to chapter 21, would you? Notice how, again, the language is of the text. Verse 5 says, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed. Verse 6 says, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. Verse 7 says, and when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais. The next verse says, and the next day, we that were Paul's company. I mean, folks, look, this, we could go on again, on and on and on, especially if we go back earlier in the book of Acts. It's the same pattern, and it's the pattern throughout the entire book, because it sounds like the days just click by. This day and the next day, and then we parted, and we parted, and we parted again, we departed again, we departed. They're just parting all the time and saying hello and saying goodbye, saying hello and saying goodbye. Every day was a greeting, it seems, and every day was a farewell. In chapter 20, that other day, when Paul preached at midnight, that was a long day. In fact, did you know that the Bible uses the word long? It says, as Paul was long in preaching. He preached all the way to midnight. That's a long day, you say, Pastor. No. That was actually 24 hours, just like every other day. Every single day has the same amount of minutes, and every day is passing. And passing quickly. Just as quickly as the day before and the day before that. And you know, every time the Bible evaluates time and every time the Bible shows us that evaluation, he gives us sort of a commentary on a man's life. And always when he does so, the calculation is always the same. It is always that life is a vapor. Always. It is always that life is quick. That life is a blade of grass. As the Bible says, a flower that fadeth. It's a snowflake on a warm rock. You say, Pastor, not in Ephesus. Paul was in Ephesus for a long time. Kind of was. Look at chapter 20. Read it with me, would you? Verse 31. He says, therefore, watch and remember, beloved, that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Woo, 3 years, Pastor. That's a long period of time. Finally. True. But then there's verse 38. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Sorrowing. It's a poignant scene. You know what I wonder? I wonder if a year ago these people took for granted the time they had together with the great Apostle Paul. I guarantee you they did. I wonder how many times the first year they didn't stay awake during one of his teachings or preachings, or just stayed away, as if that day would just last forever. I ask you a question. Those people you love, that you enjoy, that you minister to, that you care about,
You realize that one day on this earth you will see their face no more. You realize that therefore every day is passing quickly, right? Okay. Then stop bickering so much. One day you will see their face no more. Stop making mountains out of molehills. Stop wasting time about little things that do not matter at all. Some of you old timers may remember in the old building on Center Street in 1988, Louise was up there, it was a little small auditorium, and Louise was singing a solo in church that night, and she got choked up. It happened once in a while. But this time she choked up emotionally about the song. And I was sitting right over here, and she reached out like this with her hand, like, help me out here. And so I got up, and I took her hand. And the song that she was singing was, it's an old Gaither song. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. You know, beloved, there's no reason. There's no need to obsess over little things that do not matter. Every day is passing you by. And you know what? Whether it be 5 days or 3 days or 3 months or 3 years, every day is passing. You know, the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, he says, very simply, I must walk today and tomorrow and the next day. That's what he said. He said, I must walk today and tomorrow and the next day. Well, let me ask you a question. For the Son of God, which of those days was not filled with purpose? Which of those days was not passing by? And which of those days was not protected by God the Father? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you don't have to wait until, I don't know, Christmas Day to have joy, or Thanksgiving Day to be grateful. The power behind every successful Christian life, without question, as revealed in Scripture, is perspective. Perspective. Paul could only say, none of these things move me, because his perspective was true. Our Lord's perspective was eternity. Eternity. Friday, I got a phone call from Jack Gibson. Jack Gibson was my bus driver when 12 years of age. They knocked on my door and invited me to church. And he said, Jimmy. I said, Brother Jack. He said, listen, I wanted you to know that I'm in hospice. And we'd been communicating a little bit, knew a little bit about it. And my days are short. And he says, I wanted to tell you something you never knew. And he told me a story. I'm not going to relate it here tonight, but it was basically just a story of how when he was in Germany, how the Lord moved a lot of pieces that disappointed him at the time. Disappointed him greatly, because he had some plans and he was in the Air Force and didn't work out. And he ended up coming back to the States. And he said he was reminded by my bus captain, his wife, who's in heaven now. One little simple fact. He said, you know, whenever I would think about those times and the disappointments back then, if I had only known that the Lord was moving me to Fayetteville, North Carolina, so that we could knock on the door of a little boy who would just get saved named Jimmy Blaylock, it would have been worth it all. Perspective. I wonder if you have it tonight. You know what tomorrow is? Anybody know what tomorrow is? Get this. You forgot. Tomorrow is August the 19th. So what, Pastor? What's that mean? My birthday? Am I going to get something? Do I get off school? No, beloved, tomorrow is August the 19th. This is the day. It's a red letter day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And it's full of purpose for your life. Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you for your word. And I pray you'll speak to every heart, my heart, about the blessing of life. May we finish our course with joy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.